World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good. What is it, Wednesday morning? Let me look at my phone. Is it Wednesday? Is it Thursday? It's one of those days. Which one is it?
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yes.
Thursday. Whatever day it is, we're live and ready to roll. Yeah, it's Wednesday the 9th. Folks, thanks for joining us out here today. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And, boy, we got a doozy for you today. But before we dive into it, let me lay a little bit of a background here, okay? We're going to ground zero. We're going to go to ground zero. And the number of people, excuse me, who said, Coach, you got to be careful. That's dangerous out there. That's dangerous out. Coach, you guys better be careful. Well, first of all, you think I don't know that? You think I can't watch TV? I can't see what's going on? But the scripture says that the whole creation's groaning, waiting for us to show up, the manifestation of the sons of God. And if you believe it or don't believe it, we're in a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, evil spirits, and high places. What does that look like? What would that be? And here we are, how many years from 9-1-1, 25th anniversary of 9-1-1, and we still don't get it. We still don't understand what's going on. We still don't understand the infiltration of Islam and what really true Islam is. Got a guest today. I'm going to bring him in here in a second. Usama Dak, Doc. Just after 9-1-1, actually. And former Islamist, Muslim. And started explaining to us exactly what's going on in Islam. Said, boys, you better wake up. This ain't what you think it is. And he's been crying that cry for, well, longer than I've known him. And we're really blessed to have him with us today. And he's going to join us in D.C. this weekend. But before we play this, can I throw a little bit of levity at you here if we can? I saw this morning. Folks, I don't know where you are. I'm 73 years old, 73. Or it's like they say in elementary school, going on 74. And I look around me and I see a lot of old folk. We were called baby boomers. Y'all remember that? Baby boomers. And here we sit today in 2026 and look at the fruit of the baby boom generation. Will you look at the fruit of that? You want to know the fruit of the baby boom generation? All you got to do is look at our children and then look at our grandchildren. In fact, that's what Psalm 73 tells us about. Teach it to your children who will teach it to their children. Psalm 78, I'm sorry, right? We haven't done a very good job of it. And so people question, say, Coach, why are you going to go to ground zero? Yada, yada, yada. Hey, folks, it's my generation that made this mess. My generation. We made this mess. I'll leave it to my children, to my grandchildren. I realized the other day, my son's 44 years old. 44, my son! 44. He's an adult. He's raising children. Wow. But I had to do this. By the way, we got Usama Dak Doc with you. This is going to be really, really informative. It's going to be really, really good. But I got to show you. Here we are, folks. Here's the baby boom generation. It's us. Tune in, turn on, drop out. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, we run down through the list of them, huh? And here we are. Here, this could be me. Go ahead and play that.
Let's go.
See you.
These people were 20 years old at one time. You get it, right, folks? We're on the highway to hell, and it's because of our generation that we're on the highway to hell. Now, hang on, because we love to blame the Bible, right? We love to blame pre-written history. We say, Coach, this is just the way that the Lord planned it. Lord, it's the way the Bible says it's going to play out. And there we are, my generation, singing about the highway to hell. And Usama, we're almost there, brother, aren't we? We're almost there. Come on in, brother. Come on in.
Brother Coach, and good morning to all you wonderful audience, and a great day for all America. You look at videos like that, and these older folks whom I used to look at them as grandpa, but I am just a step. I'm a step from being them, and I thank God for the joys they have and to dance. And but sadly, we're not going to see so many happy a moment such as this for the future of this country, the way we are going.
Amen.
It take me back to the Bible when they said to them, sing us a new song. How can we sing? And the walls are down, and the walls are burned, and the cities are destroyed. Jerusalem, we talk about the beautiful land where you see in it the Jewish nation, the Jewish people laughing and dancing. Sadly, I don't see this will be for a long time, people laughing and dancing, because the mourning, the sadness is coming for most Americans if we do not wake up and do something. Especially, we're talking about a few weeks, 8 weeks from now, we can see the end of the story, or we can see another chance for America to do what's right. That's my heart desire.
Amen. And folks, I got to know Usama, I don't know, just short, a long time ago. Okay, so I've kind of followed his ministry, and he was telling us back 20 years ago about Islam, what Islam really is all about, the deceptive nature of Islam. Up on the screen right now is his website, so maybe we can put that in the chat, The Straight Way of Grace. And I remember hearing him for the first time and thinking, this guy, is he a little bit over the edge here, right, and talking about what's going on. And he was warning us, about.
And you know, it's amazing, Brother Dave, speaking in North Carolina three years ago, for the same preacher I spoke to when I was in seminary at school at New Orleans Baptist 25 years ago. We actually met before September 11, just a few months in the first session. We have first class. So he asked me to speak for him in a church in Louisiana. And I went to spoke in his church. He was, a student while he's preaching. And after we talked in the church, he was not very happy with me. I felt like, did I do anything wrong? Did I say? And then he actually have a talk with me to correct me, to fix me up, to make me a better speaker. He said, Usama, here is the truth. You know much about Islam, which is good. You know about the Bible, which is great. But when you exaggerate in your teaching, you lose your credibility. When you say things you know it's not true, people look at you like you're not that important. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you said this, you said that about Islam. That's not true. It's like, brother, this is a reality. That's the truth. That's what's coming to America, especially after September 11th. Now I go speak for him in his new church in North Carolina, and he's telling his people, please listen carefully to the guy, because I thought he was wrong. Yes, he was wrong because he didn't tell us the whole story. I thought he's exaggerated, but he was not exaggerating. One of the statements I actually made in some church, I said, when Obama came to power, I said, if he become a president, he will help Iran to be a powerful country in the Middle East. He will give Iran millions of dollars. Another preacher told me, he will never do that. He cannot do that. He have no power to do that. We have these three executive branches and keep teaching me about America. The other preacher said to his people, I was wrong. It was not millions. It was billions. And Usama is always right. So I understand people cannot see it because We are living in our own bubble. We're here in America. We're far away from Islam. And even if Muslims did it in the Middle East, they will never do it here. But the reality, brother coach, they have the blueprint. It worked great in the Middle East. It's working greater in Europe. And it will work even much better for them in America. Sadly, because we did not learn from the errors or the mistakes of other countries yesterday. And that is our future, our tomorrow.
Usama, the thing that's just absolutely unbelievable to me is that New York elected a Muslim mayor. What do you think? How does that happen? You think
it's not just a Muslim mayor. It's a Muslim brotherhood, a Muslim jihadi mayor. Do you know that? I am from Egypt. You know that, okay? So I grew up in Egypt, and praise God, I grew up in a Christian home, in a Muslim family, and I learned about both sides of the aisle here. There is Islamic beliefs and the Christian belief. And in Egypt, the home base of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hassan al-Banna, the guy who started the Muslim Brotherhood over 100 years ago, was Egyptian. Sayyid Qutb, the second commander of the Muslim Brotherhood, was Egyptian. And on until today. Do you know that he cannot be a mayor? Mamdani cannot be a mayor in Egypt right now. It is unconstitutional in our country to allow Muslim Brotherhood to hold an office of mayor. That is the reality. These Muslim jihadi, these Muslim believers, I call them believers because that's what Allah calls them, that's what Muhammad calls them, cannot hold that office in Egypt. But somehow we love to have them in America because we got a bunch of stupid, useful, idiot Democrats who think by having such people in power makes the Democrat powerful. When in reality, they are used as useful idiots for the destruction of America. Muslims will take over America only because the Democrat chose to give them America.
Usama, they've already taken they're in control of Britain almost, aren't they, at this point?
That's over. Oh, England is gone long time ago. That now the Sharia courts is all over England. And the king of England, I believe, is a convert to Islam. Listen to how he talk. Listen how he act. The only hope the British have is revolution, get rid of their kings, lock him up, put him in some prison, and get rid of all the politicians and start a civil war. And I don't think this will be good for England. Even if you go to civil war, that is the end of America. Muslim would love for the British to rise up against the Muslims and their agenda, because that is when they perform their final jihad and they will be killing the last British, and England will not be there anymore. So they have to live like that or go in civil war and destroy this country for good.
That's where it's heading. And, Usama, you probably aren't aware of this, but we went to St. Paul, Minnesota. We went up there and we did some ministry on the streets of St. Paul, Minnesota. Usama, it's Muslim up there. This is a major city in the United States of America that is Islamic.
Yeah, I've been there many times. As a matter of fact, every year I go to Minnesota at least a couple times, if not three. And it's a sad thing is there are ignorant Muslims who live in Minnesota. I've been to Mogadishu Market, and I've talked to the Muslim Somali in Minnesota. They do not know the right hand from the left hand. You talk to the Muslim Somali, which is the majority of the hundreds of thousands of Muslims live in Minnesota, and say, where is your right hand? He look at you like, what? Where is your left hand? They don't know. They're taking the country right and left by our liberal politicians, and they do not know any Muslim Somali know much less than Islam on Islam than most Americans. And I know most Americans do not know jack about Islam.
So in other words, they've just been programmed. They don't have, just like Americans, we don't really understand the Old Testament and many things in the Bible. We just go to church on Sunday. We listen to the pastor preaches. We go home.
At least the Christian in America knows the Bible by reading it. You can open the Bible. You can open your Bible and read it in English. You give the Quran in the Arabic language. The Muslim Somali, they don't even know where is the beginning, where is the end. They are praying in a language they do not know what they're saying. One mosque we went to, and we talked to all the people came out of the mosque. There were like hundreds of them. And all I said is good morning in the Arabic language. Sabah al-khair. Sabah al-khair. Sabah al-khair. Not one person understood good morning. And they were praying for 2 hours in the Arabic language. Imagine that was me. American, as much as I don't care how ignorant they are, they understand the Bible language, the English language. Muslim Somali do not know jack about the Quran.
So, it's bad. Yeah, it is bad. So, Osama, what about this whole idea that they like to tell us it's a religion of peace?
Yeah, very peaceful. Very peaceful. As a matter of fact, you know what? There are plenty of verses in the Quran teaches that Islam is a peaceful religion. And when I talk about peaceful, that is when Allah is telling the Muslim believers to cut the infidel to pieces. But with our funny accent, we do not know how to talk. So we say Islam is a religion of peace. Imagine when Allah told them in the Quran to cut their fingers, to cut their toes, to cut their hands and legs out of opposite side. I'm talking about Muslims cutting American people to separate their head from their body by cutting their necks off. That is 24 pieces, brother coach. 24 pieces. And that's how we know Islam is a religion of pieces.
So why haven't we seen that yet?
Because they have not yet come to the point of the power of the upper hand. Quran 47, 35 is what Muslims are practicing in America today. That is, do not be weak. Do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. They did not have, up to this moment yet, the upper hand. But when they will have the upper hand, which could happen in the next election. No kidding. Listen to this, brother. 2018, 8 weeks from now, they can steal the election and they can have the House and the Senate. Now the president will be living a horrible life in the next 2 years. Not only they will arrest him, not only they will find him guilty, they may throw him in prison. Can you imagine Mr. Donald Trump in prison? Then you come to 28 and they will steal the other election. And then you have in 4 years at least 40 million Muslims coming to America. 10 million every year. These are the ones who come legally. You cannot tell them they're illegal. Not counting how many illegal will be coming to America from the Canadian border and from the southern border, not just from Mexico. Even there are millions who will be coming to America illegal from Canada. And when that happens, you can kiss America goodbye. You have plenty of millions of Muslims in America who will slaughter the Christians in America, who will slaughter the gay and stupid lesbian of America, who are doing everything they can to help the Muslims take over this country. And America will not be known anymore. We're not talking about 400 years from now or 250 more years. No. In the next 5 years, 6 years, you will watch the change happening in America.
That's why it's so critical. You wouldn't believe the emails I've gotten from people so critical of what we're going to do in New York. Somebody at some point has got to stand up and not only say no, but hell no. And that's what Pastor Manning's trying to do. What's your thoughts on that, Osama?
Well, at least if it is for the, let me go this way. The worst scenario will be unsuccessful trip, but the history will be written on the 25th anniversary of September 11th. Some people spoke the truth.
Amen.
and we wish we have heard them and believed them. That is all. That is the worst scenario. Nothing good happened out of it. We may be getting arrested. We may be thrown in some prison. But years from now, the American people will look at a guy by the name Coach Dave and this lady and that guy and that preacher and that guy. Oh, they spoke the truth and we never believed them. We wish we have heard them. And let me put it this way. I believe the Lord had brought me to this country as to be a man on the wall. I don't want any Egyptian, any American blood on my hand as much as I don't want any Egyptian blood on my hand. Our ancestors in Egypt years ago lost their life because of the Muslims, but they did what is right. They stood up for them. That's why they lost their life. It's not always, victory is not always you win. Victory is you speak the truth.
That's right.
And if I stay in America and I be quiet like everybody else and go and doing my stuff and my life, going and not standing on the gap, not standing on the wall, and I shout, enemy, enemy, the Lord will look at you. The Lord will look at me and say, what have you done? Oh, we were worried about our life. We were worried about, no, you are responsible. I am responsible for the blood which will be shed in this country's streets. In this country's churches, because we did not tell the truth. Now, if we stood up the wall and say, enemy, enemy, and nobody listened and nobody cared, I stand up before the Lord with pure hand. Not because I'm perfect. No, I did my job. I did my part. And let the people do whatever they choose to do.
Okay, so Osama, I'm going to open it up here in a second. But let me make some things here perfectly clear. If Islam begins to rule in America, whatever that would look like, bye-bye homosexuals. Is that right, brother?
Sure.
Bye bye. Right.
But let me prove it. Do we have homosexual in the country of Iran? Yeah. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said we don't have any homosexual in Iran. You know why? Because he kills them one by one. So it is the stupid homosexual of America.
That's right. So we won't have any homosexuality. Women will be forced to be subservient to men, right? Maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe. Head coverings, all that. So, see, we can't believe this kind of stuff is happening. But one of these two worldviews is going to win, is it not, brother?
You cannot have both. Christianity and freedom and liberty and Islam and segregation and the savage beliefs and ideology of Islam, they cannot exist together. The only reason they exist because we still have power in this land. But when we lose the power, and Muslims have the upper hand, it's over for everything we know about America.
Can two walk together lest they agree? Folks, we cannot live in a country. See, we've misunderstood the whole idea of freedom of religion. Now, just sit there a second, folks, because people like to throw that around. Folks, I hate to tell you this. You have freedom of religion in America, but Christianity is the religion of America.
Yeah.
So if you want to practice your Islam, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to practice because there's freedom of religion. But Christ and the rules of Christ rule and reign in America. That was the founding of our nation. And we got so confused that we think that freedom of religion meant everybody's equal standing on the same platform. Now ask yourself this question. How many, there are 46,000 Christian denominations in America. One question. How many of those churches believe Jesus Christ is King of Kings? 46,000 of them. They all believe that, right? Hey, Usama, do the Muslims believe Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords?
Absolutely not. He's just a prophet, a messenger, a good man who came to give the good news of the coming of Prophet Muhammad. In that chapter in the Quran, he called him Ahmed. Jesus is not king. As a matter of fact, we just have a story we covered in our Saturday broadcast just a few weeks ago where a Christian man held the sign, Jesus is the King of Dearborn, and he was beaten in Dearborn, Michigan.
Mm.
He was beaten by the Muslim mob because he carried a sign, Jesus is the King of Dearborn. Can you imagine that? I would never think that this will happen that quick. But there is a time coming when Muslims will do their job to destroy the worst sin. It is the worst sin in Islam, unforgiven sin. It's called the sin of shirk. What is shirk? Is to partner someone or somebody with Allah. And that is what Christians do. We believe in the strong, powerful partnership. The oneness of our God is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is not accepted in Islam. That is the only reason why Allah in the Quran called Christians infidels. And that's the only reason why Allah ordered Muhammad and the Muslim believers to wipe out Christians, because they believe that Jesus is the King of Kings and Jesus is Lord of Lords. Jesus is God Almighty who came in the flesh. That is unacceptable in Islam, and it's punishable by death.
And so, Spencer, real quickly, let me make you earn your money here this morning. Go to Webster's and pull up infidel. Infidel. What is an infidel? Because we hear these words, we don't even think about it. An infidel is an unbelieving, disbelieving the inspiration of scriptures or the divine institution of, well, they would Christianity, but they would say Islam, right? An infidel is one who disbelieves the inspiration of the scriptures and the divine origin of Islam. All right, folks. So they call us infidels because we don't fall in line with their worship of Muhammad.
Let me quote you, brother. Coach, let me quote you a couple of verses to know what the Quran think of Christians. Quran 5:72. Allah said, infidel indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the Christ, the Son of Mary. You believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Virgin Mary, is God Almighty, you are infidel indeed. The following verse, 5:73. Infidel indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the third of three. You believe in Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you are an infidel indeed. And you finish the cake with the icy on the top of it. You go to Quran chapter 47, verse 4. And Allah said, so when you meet those who became infidels, the Christians, strike the necks until you have made a great slaughter among them. This is the reality of Islam. Christians are infidels, and they must wipe us out. Why? Because we do not accept the beliefs of Islam, and we believe in the falsehood of Christianity, according to their savage ideology, the ideology of the Quran.
Okay, I'm going to open it up here in just a second, Osama. Explain to people from your perspective why this march on New York, why this is so important.
It is very important because it's been 25 years late. I mean, we should have done that march on day one. When the speech I have and I wrote last night to share with the people of New York and the people of America and all the Muslims of the world, that speech should have been given by a man. His name is George W. Bush. But instead of he spoke the truth about Islam and the Muslims of America and the Muslims of the world, he gave us a garbage lies and misinformation. And sadly, from the days of George W. Bush 25 years ago until today, we have not heard any truth but the repeated lies. And as it was written, and I'm going to be repeating that, by the way, Friday, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people eventually comes to believe it. Most American liberal Democrats believe the one lies which is given by our politicians about Islam, which is Islam is a loving and a peaceful religion. That is not true at all. And perhaps it's 25 years late, but better late than to be, what does the statement you say in America? Better late than to be sorry or something like that?
Yeah.
So we're gonna speak the truth one more time, and perhaps some Muslim, if one Muslim hear me and hear you and hear everyone of those who speak, to realize that September 11 was the act, according to the word of Allah, by the Muslim believers to wipe out and to harm this great country, that will make it worth the trip. At least, as I said earlier, for the American people to know, this is the truth. And if you don't believe it now, you're going to believe it later. But you're going to be sorrowful because you wished then, you wished our grandchildren, Brother Kush, will curse the day when they will face the reality of what Muslims are going to do to them in America. And they will curse us on that day because we have done nothing about it for all these years. But at least we're going to do something about it.
Okay, so I'm going to open it up here. One more question, Osama, and I don't want to get wrapped up on this thing. Was 911 an inside job? Do you think our government worked with Islam did they really fly it into the towers? What's your take on that?
I don't believe so. But the way Mr. Bush reacted to it, and the way he did not tell the truth to the American people for 7 years after it, it make me believe that those who claim it to be inside job could be true. Why? Because why Bush did not speak the truth about Muslims and Islam? If it was done by the 19 hijackers, if Bin Laden was behind it, there's so much mysteries in our life, things you will never believe it's happening. Like even for eternity, I know that we believe every man perform miracle in Jesus' name, every man who prophesy, every man who cast demons in Jesus' name. These are God's people. They will be in heaven. No. Surprise, surprise. Jesus said, away from me, you evildoers. I do not know you. Oh, my Lord, we did this, we did this, we did that. I don't know you. So how much shock will be for eternity that some of the preachers, those who did great things for the kingdom of God, are not going to be in heaven. And the opposite is true. Some people, you will never think they're going to be there. They know. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Coach. You may think I'm really losing my mind here. We all know that Muhammad is burning in hell forever. We know that for a fact. We're talking about the Prophet of Islam. But can you imagine the surprise that Muhammad will be in heaven? How? Because he's a prophet? No. Because he did anything good in Islam? No. Maybe, just use the imagination, maybe Muhammad, before he died, as we learn from the historians who wrote to us, Ibn Isaac and Ibn Hisham, that Muhammad was so sick that they dumped so much cold water on him to drop his temperature, and he met with his four leaders, the one who came after him, Abu Bakr, Omar, Osman, and Ali. And as, just use the imagination now. I do not have this, not true. I'm making it up. And in that meeting, Muhammad said to them, come, I want to tell you some truths. I'm about to die. I lied to you. I am not a prophet. I'm not a messenger. I deceived you. And I believe Jesus is God Almighty who died on the cross and rose again for our sins. Please don't follow any of my teaching in the Quran. Please, I am telling you the truth. Omar, look at Osman. Osman, look at Ali. Ali, look at the book. And they all nod their head. Omar got the pillow and put it over his face. And he suffocated him. And he could not breathe. And until he died, where do you think Muhammad will be right now? If that is the last words came out of his himself, confessing Christ as Lord and King and acknowledging that he is not a prophet and he was a falsehood man. If this was the true story, how Muhammad ended his life, he will not be any different than the thief on the cross. He will be different. So I'm not going to be surprised if someday we find that it was inside job. How do I know? I'm not up in the FBI or CIA. I'm just a simple minister who's trying to speak the truth about Islam and about Christianity, the falsehood and the wicked ideology of the Quran and the love of Christ in the Holy Scripture. This is my job here.
Amen. Today. Amen. David Arthur, come on in. I never thought of that. Huh? What if Muhammad had a deathbed conversion? If we believe the gospel, that's what it's about, right? On his deathbed, he could have called on the name of the Lord. We don't know. We don't know. David, come on in.
Amen. Usama, good to see you, brother. I have two questions for you, or two situations that I would love to have your insight on, because I speak of them often. But one is a young lady that escaped Islam many years ago, who still remains with a bounty on her head, once told me, David, do not believe these converting Muslims. She said the majority of them are not actually converting to Jesus. They're just infiltrating your religion because you are subhuman to them, so they have no problem lying to you. And the second that I would like your insight on would be the fact that jihadists like Mamdani are promoting and pushing the LGBTQ trans queer cult. And I would think the reasoning behind that would be because they're mentally unstable, spiritually unpressed, creating these martyrs or human bombs for their cause. So yeah. What would be your insight on those?
Are you talking about Rivka Berry?
Rivka Berry.
Prudence?
No, that's not different. Anyway, here's the truth. I met with so many Muslims in America, those who used to be Catholic and Baptist, and all this different denomination among Christianity. None of them are true convert, and the proof is very simple. They all believe Islam is a loving, peaceful religion. And we have many stories. If we have a program for 10 hours, we can share them. But since it's only 1 hour broadcast, I will tell you, they believe in a lie, and they think that Islam is what it is not. They deceive them, and that's why they convert Islam. When in reality, they do not know the right hand from the left hand. Some of them are actually smart ones, famous lawyers, Baptist preacher, Catholic priest, who convert Islam. And as I talk with them, I found out, in reality, they do not know jack about Christianity, and they do not know any truth about Islam, period. So they were never a Christian. And they are not Muslims. They are in some we call propaganda Islam in the West. Mamdani like the LGBTQRS and all this alphabet of the people because for one reason. That is how he can weaken America. I promise you, Muslims in America love abortionists and those who have an abortion. Why? Because they know none of their Muslim ladies are going to go to abortion clinic. I promise you. I promise you. You will never see a Muslim lady in a hijab going to abortion clinic to lose her baby. Why? Because first of all, she's not going to sleep around to have a baby. Because if she commit adultery, she'll be stoned to death. That's a fact. Number two, if she got pregnant and she went to the abortion clinic and killed her baby, she will be killed. Why? Because the teaching of the Quran, the teaching of Sharia, the blood of the Muslim cannot be shed except in three cases. For murder, that is a Muslim lady killing her baby. Imagine with me if we practice Sharia only in that portion of Islam, which is you American ladies want to have an abortion, go for it. with all the blessing. But before he leaves the table where you will kill your baby, we have to kill you. Why? Because Sharia, Allah's law teach, you kill your baby, we'll kill you. So Muslim women don't sleep around to get pregnant out of marriage. When she get pregnant, she's bringing pregnant for the purpose of taking over this country. They will never kill their baby. That is the opposite of what they're here for. And if they kill their baby, they will be killed by the Muslims, because that is a punishable in Islam by death. Just use your imagination. But if we can get those who survive abortion, cut the penis of the boys, and fix the girls that they will not have any baby, put a fake penis on them or some plastic one or whatever. Now, not only we kill them as babies before they survive, if they survive abortion, we will kill them by not allowing them, or they will not be able to have any more babies. Amen. May Allah make all American gays and lesbians, because that means in two generations we'll have no Americans. And we the Muslims will take over this country. You see, it's a win-win for Muslims. They will never allow homosexual among themselves, but they would love to see Americans do that, because that would destroy America from within. That is disobedient to God's command. He said, go and refill. First, he said, fill the earth. And then after the flood, refill the earth. And what the devil said, no, let's have two guys together, two ladies together, and have fun. Oh, have fun. Don't worry, the Muslims will destroy you. When they have the upper hand, because you're not going to have men and women to fight for you. You have nobody to stand up for the enemy who are here to take over that land.
So, Osama, the theme here, Dr. Paul, get ready. I'm going to bring you in here. The theme here at Coach Dave Live, everybody knows it, is this. Who told you that, and why do you believe them? And that is so critical, isn't it, brother? It's so critical.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to, if the person is speaking is drunk or under the influence of drugs, you as listener should have some common sense. Examine them. A guy came to you and he said, I saw your wife with another guy. I saw your husband with another guy. And the guy was drunk. Will you believe him? Examine him. Examine his information. See if what he said is true. Before you rush to make any decision, negatively or positively, you need to have some spirit. It's called the spirit of discernment, that examine. The Bible even teaches this. You know, the Apostle Paul were bragging about the librarian. Why? Because they were going back to the scripture. They go back to Isaiah and Jeremiah and the writing of Moses to see if what the Apostle Paul is telling is true. He did not get offended, but the American people are so naive. They believe whatever they hear, especially if they heard it often enough, because they think it's true, when in fact it's 100% a lie.
Amen. Dr. Paul, come on in.
Hi, Islam. I'm curious on what percentage of the Muslim collective is actually militant enough to make a difference?
Great question. We
cannot really give you an exact number, but according to the liberals, which is amazing, they will tell you that less than 10%, excuse me, 10%, do you understand what 10% of 1.8 billion? That's 180 million, you nutcases. We don't have army in planet Earth to fight the 10% of Muslim radical, extremist, fundamental, which obviously all garbage lies, that are called Muslim believers. You'll hear me Friday. Allah calls them believers. Muhammad calls them believers. They call themselves believers. And we nutcase Americans call them extremists or radicals. 10%. But if you go to a country like Egypt, we know for sure there are at least 35% Muslim brotherhood. If you go to other countries like Saudi Arabia, I go the number, it will go up to 90%. And you go to Pakistan, Afghanistan, who do not know jack about Islam, and it is in the 80%. So I do not know where they come up with 10%, but I will be stupid enough. Listen carefully. I'll be stupid enough to say, yes, there are 10%. We have a problem on planet Earth, which is too smallly, tiny, tiny now, because we're no longer far away with oceans from the Muslim world. They're here in New York. They're everywhere in America. And we only have 180 million Muslims who want every Christian dead. There is no army in planet Earth. Can you imagine if we said we only have 20 million Muslims in America? And 10% of 20 million is how many, brother Coach?
200,000. No. Yeah.
You got it right, brother. You got it right. And all these people do not use bombs, they do not use bullets, they do not use any nuclear material. They're going to use a gallon of gas and one match. You can give them as a free gift, no charge, from a gas station in America owned by a Muslim guy. And we have all these hundreds of thousands of fire all over America. Can you imagine when we have one fire in California or Arizona, and that fire burning thousands and thousands and thousands of acres and hundreds and thousands of homes by one fire started with one guy. Imagine, multiply this to thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslims. Wow. There's not enough fire department in planet Earth. There's not enough water in planet Earth to stop the burning of America. Only 10% of Muslims in America are radicals. And I believe that number is tiny, tiny to the reality. They may be much more than that, and we will never know.
So, anyway. Osama, are there different denominations of Islam?
Sure. Like there's different denomination in Christianity. And it's what's amazing when you talk to the Shiite, and let's talk about the two big ones, Shia and Sunni. There, what's amazing, Muhammad said there will be 73 denominations among Muslims in the end of time. And it's amazing that there are, in Egypt alone, we have hundreds and hundreds. That means the prophecy of Muhammad was wrong. Muhammad thought that, you know, they will be divided a little bit, 73, you know. And he said one of them is the true Muslims, and the other 72 are, you know, fake ones. There are hundreds and hundreds in Egypt. But the Shia and the Sunni, if you talk to the Sunni, they will tell you, the Shia are the bad ones. Look at the Iranis, they're the Shia. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to get the nuclears. They're trying to wipe out the Saudi Muslim and the Christian and the Jews. And you talk to the Sunni, and they tell you, to the Shia, and they tell you, the Sunnis are the bad ones. Who is the bad ones? They're all the same. Listen, Muslims believe in the book. Muslims believe in Allah, the God of the Quran. The problem is the American people have not read that book. This is, by the way, my translation here to the Quran, accurate English translation. So if we read the Quran, we'll learn that. Muslims believe in Allah. Muslims believe in Muhammad. Muslims, they eat the same food. They drink the same water. They wear the same clothes. They have the same way of life. This savage ideology of the Quran, they are here for one reason, to behead all non-Muslim believers. Kill them all. Not all means all. They only kill the men because they love to rape our women. They love to rape our daughters, especially our granddaughters. If you have one around 8, 9, that's a perfect one for Muslim to rape. Why? Because they follow the Sunnah of Muhammad. And if you read the Quran, you will come to the conclusion. I don't care what denomination you call yourself. You're a Muslim. Yeah. You believe in that book. Yeah. That's it. Out of America.
Amen. Hey, real quickly, folks, on his website, he's got books and videos and DVDs. And if you need more information, or if you just click on that, we've got that in the links. Put that in there. Osama, they want to hear from you. Joe Allen, come on in. And then Laura Ann, go, Joe.
Good morning, sir. I'll make it quick. A lot of us here has been in the sandbox, but I'm wanting to know what you see. And we know in our state and federal prisons, they cannot have no gang activity, no gathering or anything. So they're using Islam and Christianity for gang activity in our federal and state prisons now. And the time they get out, they use their activity that they did in prison, overcome with Islam.
Brother, in the 29, 30s, no, actually, I can go more than that. When I was new in America, when I started going to some prison ministry with Art Hallett Ministry in Florida, have to be like literally 34 years ago or so, I was shocked to find that Muslims have their own chaplains in our prison system. At that time, I found out that plenty of Muslim converts from the black people, who are, by the way, my people. I am black. I'm not white. I came from Egypt. My mom and my dad are Egyptian. And so I belong to Ham, the son of Noah. I'm not the Shemi. I'm not the two other boys of Noah. I am from the same guy who got the color people. So sometimes when I talk about black, people think I'm racist. No, I am black. okay? Maybe I'm not dark enough to make you believe that I'm black, but I am not as white as Coach David, and I'm not a Jewish guy. Anyway, so in the present, I was shocked that Muslims converts is a large, large, huge number among the black. Of course, the nation of Islam who do not know jack about Islam until today. None of the Louis Farrakhan and his people do not know jack about Islam. And I use the word jack lightly because that's a nice word to say than other bad words. A Christian should not use bad words. Anyway, so Islam is growing in our prison system. And believe it or not, we cover this in our broadcast every week, Saturday night, where we talk about, hey, you think you punish Muslims by putting to prison, you have made a big mistake. The best way to fix the problem of crimes among Muslims, don't put them in prison. Get rid of them. Send them back to where they come from. Because they flourish in our prison beyond your imagination. When a man goes serve in prison 10, 20 years, he's actually starting a college degree for free for the rest of the convert who will become Muslim jihadi under his hand. I believe some Muslims are committing crime on purpose to go to prison to educate prisoners. Many people go to prison, hate this country. Many people go to prison, hate this country, especially the black. Why? Because the white judge and the white officer and the white lawyer and the white prosecutor and the white this and the white that, they hate white. You go to prison, you meet with a Muslim man, and he converted Islam. In a few years, you get out of prison, and you are a Muslim jihadi from America. I don't have to bring Muslims from overseas. I would just use your own people who will come to prison for whatever crimes he committed, and they leave a good jihadi for the destruction of America. That is the worst enemy to have, the enemy from within.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Laura Ann, come on, quickly. Tell us your story, not your life story.
I just want to pray.
Amen.
And I just have one question. Yusuf, could you tell me the translation for Halah and Allah? And is Halah Allah spelled backwards?
No, maybe for those who don't speak Arabic, the word halal, ha-lam, alif-lam. And if you read it backwards, it will be lalah. That's nothing.
Okay.
It may be look like it is the opposite of Allah. Halal is it's another subject for another day. Maybe we can talk about Sharia, unlawful and unlawful food. And it's amazing that now we even have halal coffee in America. Halal everything. It is about helping and supporting Muslim businesses. It's not nothing. It has nothing to do with halal. It means lawful and unlawful. But halal, I want to make sure you're talking about the word halal, which is lawful food. That's right?
Okay.
Okay. No, this has nothing, nothing to do with the word Allah. If you read it backwards, it will be lalah, which is not a word. No meaning for it.
Amen. Okay. Hey, Laura Ann, I'm going to hold off on the prayer. I don't want to break the flow here. Dave Allison, come on in, Dave.
Yeah, good morning, Osama. Thanks so much for joining us. Even if the 10% thing is right, the problem we have is it's not that I appreciate the Muslims or the Americans don't know the Quran. That would be a good thing for them to understand. The problem we have here is that less than 1% of the Christians will stand up for what they believe in and fight for what they believe in. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem. Once again, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 is a powerful verse. We have it on our website. It is actually my most repeated verse from the Bible. And the verse is not just because you do not know. The rest of the verse is said, because you reject knowledge, I will also reject you. And then we have another very important portion, which is the last portion. God will not use our children to serve him. Imagine with me, we are lacking knowledge, because we reject knowledge and there is no fixing in the future of our country with our children. And it is the sign of the end. And sadly, we're living right now in the end, as the scripture foretold also, that in the end they will call evil good and they will call good evil. And that's exactly what we're living in today in America. I, as a Muslim, can say anything I want to say and nobody will touch me. Nobody will get close to me. But the moment I stand up as a believer in Christ and speak the truth, I am rejected, sadly, by so many of those who claim to be a Christian because they have zero knowledge about the truth of Christianity.
This Amen. Amen. Jack, come on in. Tell us your story, not your life story. Let's keep it rolling. Go, Jack.
Okay, so we all in this queue pretty much understand what you're saying is true. How do we infiltrate the church? How do we wake up the pastors? We've all been working on this, but we're not getting very fast. My dad, before Obama got elected, my father was a pastor. He's 8 years dead. But he went around to every community in this county, this huge county, and talked to almost every pastor in the county and gave them literature that Obama was a Muslim and they had to do something about it. And they all patted him on the head and said, thank you, old man. We appreciate you. And said nothing.
Okay, what do we do, Osama?
I hate to tell you that I have the same problem your father faced that we used to call 50 church and we get 4 or 5 of them to speak in. That was literally 20 years ago. Now I have to call 200, maybe 300 to get one. And I'm not talking about liberal churches. I'm talking about conservative churches. Those who believe that they are the only one who got the truth. My own Southern Baptist Church. I'm not going to even make fun of the Catholic and the Methodists who love gay and lesbian, love Muslims more than Jesus. I'm talking about my own Southern Baptist churches. I give you the solution, and it is very ugly, and maybe some people will hate me for it. The believers in the church, listen carefully, the believers in the church will go and meet with the preacher, and they will say, we would love to have Brother Usama Dakdok, the Streetway Grace Ministry, to come and teach us about Islam and how Amen. We can share the gospel with the Muslim people. And the preacher said, let me pray about it. Give him a week, not a month or a year. I got some churches in Missouri where I am right now have been praying for almost 20 years about having me. Okay? So after a week, you meet with him again. And they said, I don't feel like this is really appropriate or whatever, something like that. Then you ask him to leave. Ask for his resignation. You don't have enough people in the church to cause him to resign from his place. Then you take your believers and get out of the church. You're supporting a wicked, ungodly minister financially and by your presence. When you show up in his church every Sunday, you are saying amen to his wicked, ungodly decision about not stopping the Islamization of America, not stopping the infiltration of America. We got many members in our churches who are liberal Democrats. They need to be out of the church. If not, take the believers and get out of the church. The Bible said, separate from them. You cannot mix with ungodly one. So it is ugly answer, but that is the only answer. Or stay where you're at, and the day is coming, and they will get rid of you anyway, but then you lost other people as well. So
that's what I want
to hear.
If
you don't like my answer, I'm sorry. I don't have good answer for you.
You did it. That's the answer.
Okay, that's it.
Exodus 18:20.
Let's go. Usama, I'm getting blacker by the moment, man. I agree with you.
Someday you'll be black like me, brother.
What the heck's going on here? Randy.
Yeah, it was, brother, do you teach the people that hear the message, and actually you're actually educating the Christianity about Islam? Okay, that's probably your goal. But how do you stay in the balance where you don't start becoming hate against hate? I mean, I'm a doer. I don't go for this weak Christianity, you know, but. But at the same time, we still got to walk in love and balance righteous anger. So how do you teach that as a discipline when you give this message? Do you tell them, look, we're not lock and loaded and going out here and starting the crusades again, but we are going to stand up in their face and rebuke them with scripture and, you know, and be tough.
Good point.
How do you walk in that balance?
It's very simple, brother. When we talk about loving the Muslim people, I don't love them for hell, but I love them for Jesus. When you talk about loving the lost people in your church, you're talking about not loving them for hell, but loving them for Jesus. And here's a fact. Hating hate is love. Listen to me again. Hating hate is love. Hating the ideology of Islam is love the Muslim people. You cannot tell me you can do it any other way. When you ignore your friend who is drunk, driving his car, going on a road where there's a big end of a down in a deep hole, which is his eternity in hell. If you let him keep going and maybe give him another case of cold beer for the rest of his trip, the next few minutes he'll be driving. I'm sorry, you don't love your friend. You hate him. Okay. You stop him, get him out of the car. Maybe sometime you need a nice hit in his nose to stop him. Get the key out of the car. Get him in your house. Give him enough coffee. Sober him up. Give him a good dinner. That is loving him. But we have done the wrong thing in America, even with our own children, when they became a prodigal sons by not correcting them. The Bible does not talk about Christianity to be the sissy Christianity, but it is preaching and it's correcting and it is everything you can do to save the lost. And once again, hating the Islamic ideology is loving the Muslims. Otherwise, you're hating the Muslim people.
So in other words, a strong Christianity, a strong where we're walking in the kingdom of God, we're going to win, right? So a weak Christianity, a weak group of churches are not going to be effective against Islam, basically. Is that what you're saying, right?
No, not really. I hate to say that. Our Lord gave us a good explanation from the beginning. He said, in the Word of God, we learned that few are the one who follow him. And the Word of God said that the road is narrow and few are the one who follow him. The Bible never promised us that America is a Christian country. The Bible never promised that, because if that's true, that means Jesus' teachings about the number of his followers is a lie. No, the number of true born-again Christian in Egypt, in America, is less than 10%. I do not know what the number, 5% or whatever it is, but less than 10%. But when you talk to all these churches and all these people who claim to be Christians, they all think they're Christians. They all make, even if they give you the wrong answer, they get to heaven because of their good people. That is even a great answer, that they are not a Christian. So, few, and the victory in the end will be the Lord, not us in number, not the church. As a matter of fact, if you look at some of the videos out right now, Muslim bragging about how many churches they're purchasing in America, and they're turning it into mosques, it's going to get even much worse. So the victory is for the believers to stand firm to the end, but not a victory in numbers that we're going to take over America and the church will be victorious in the end. As that's not the answer.
Amen. Jeff Klein, real quickly. We got just 3 minutes here, Jeff.
Osama, Jeff Klein here. You was at New Beginnings about 20 years ago. I remember when you was here, I told you about a guy here who has the drive-through carryout in Mount Vernon. His name's Muhammad. And all the people, all the young people in town that buy beer from him, you just talked about beer and alcohol with him, they call him Mo. Hey, Mo. He acts like he loves these people in town. He has a little house beside his carryout. He trains young people to come in, and he'll teach them about the Quran and Islam, and they go. And I remember you said that time, you said, let's go meet Mo. You were willing to go to the carryout with me. We couldn't get that arranged with him on the short notice. But what would be your best thing off your website of teaching us as Christians how to have conversation with these Muslims? Just like I had one at the auction, a guy, a Muslim, kneeled down at the door of the auction. All the white guys sitting around in there scared to death to talk to him. I went over and started a conversation with him. Yep, sure. They're just scared to death. What's the best thing?
Jeff, we got a couple minutes. Let him respond. Go ahead.
Good question. And I will tell you this way. I got two small booklets here. One is called The Truth, The Violent Truth About Islam. And as you see on the picture here, these are the 19 Christian Egyptian, my brothers, who went to be with the Lord on that afternoon as they were beheaded by the Muslims on the beaches of Libya. That small booklet will teach you how violent Islam is. Muslims need to know that Islam is not a loving and a peaceful religion, because Bush said it is a loving and a peaceful religion. Bush is not a prophet, and Bush have not told the truth. So, violent. The second smallest booklet we have, by the way, you can read that booklet. It's 24 pages in less than 25 minutes, okay? A minute or so for each page. That booklet here is called The Straight Way to Eternal Life. The Straight Way to Eternal Life. It can break to three sessions. The first session is a proof from the Quran I'm using the Quran, not the Bible. You cannot use a corrupt book to prove to me that it's not corrupted. I'm using the Quran to share with the Muslims that the Bible is the perfect word of God. The second portion of that green booklet is I'm using the Quran to prove to the Muslim that the Quran is not the perfect word of God. It's a book loaded with error and contradiction and nonsense. And then the third portion of that booklet, the green booklet, is I take the Muslims back to the Bible. And I share with them the truth of the gospel in simple way. So that is, I believe, in my personal opinion, the best way to share the gospel with Mo and the thousands of Muslims like Mo. Whenever I go to a mosque, I go to a place where I know there will be Muslims in Menards, Lowe's, Home Depot. I have some of these in my pocket, literally.
We gotta stay right there, Usama. We gotta go, folks. Sure. Thank. Hey, pray for us. Yes, we're gonna go down there. We're gonna go to 911. We're going to Ground Zero. Pray for us. God bless you. Stay right there, Mo.
All right. You may pray.